Hello and welcome to the CMPL podcast. This is our May edition of the podcast. I'm Celia Mulder, the head of collection management here at the Clinton Macomb Public Library, and I am joined by Jess, who is one of our South Branch children's librarians. And today we are going to share our favorite picks for books and movies and other things about dinosaurs. So, Jess, welcome. I have to say, we got to start out with the ultimate question that everyone wants to know. What's your favorite dinosaur?
Oh, I was prepared for this question. There's a lot of good ones. I will have to say, overall, my favorite dinosaur has to be the Dilophosaur. I know it was made popular by Jurassic Park with the spitting of the venom and the frills, which is also my favorite Jurassic Park dinosaur. But I think the actual real Dilophosaur was really neat too. It was a much larger animal with a two-head crest, no spitting of venom or frills, but it sounds like a really awesome predator for its time. So definitely one of my favorite dinosaurs. What about you?
Nice. My favorite is the formerly referred to as the Brontosaurus, R.I.P. Brontosaurus, but the Apatosaur, which is what they figured out is actually what got misnamed as a Brontosaur. So they're my favorite. They're enormous. No one bothers to mess with them because they weigh many, many, many tons. Biggest dinosaurs. Honestly, I love all of the sauropods. And anything that is just so big, it doesn't even have predators.
Yeah, they're amazing.
They're amazing. They're amazing. They're like incomprehensible how big they are. So anyways, with that out of the way, you will have noticed both of Jess and I are huge dinosaur fans. We will be touching on Jurassic Park at some point because we have both read the book, seen the movies many times, but there are a lot of other dinosaur books out there for both adults and for children's. Dinosaur books, movies, TV shows, all sorts of stuff. So we decided to share a few of our favorites today. So Jess, if you want to kick us off, what is your first pick?
My first pick, I have a mix of, I try to find from different types of, from the different collections, adult and children's. My first favorite, what I ended up really getting into it was one called Talk Like an Expert Dinosaurs, 400 Words for Budding Paleontologists. So this is in our nonfiction section for juveniles. I really like this book because it was cartoony, but still scientifically kind of accurate photos, but a really wide overview, a really broad overview of all of the kind of aspects of dinosaurs. It starts with before the dinosaurs. It covers each period, the Triassic, Jurassic, and Cretaceous, and even goes on kind of what happened after with how they became fossils to even how those fossils get dug up and even different jobs you could have as a paleontologist. Like, it's not just digging up dinosaur bones. There's a lot of really cool jobs out there that are involved with studying prehistoric life. Like, you can become a paleohistologist and study ancient diseases. And, I read something, I have read a lot of dinosaur books, and this one is for children. It was actually a really fun read.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, that sounds really fun. I love some of the kids ones because they have a lot of pictures, and it is the downfall of the adult nonfiction often is that there are not enough pictures of the dinosaurs.
Yes.
My Good first pick.
Text and pictures.
Oh, excellent. No, my first pick is a 2022 release. And I will say, especially with the adult nonfiction, but also for children, stuff changes surprisingly quickly with what we know about dinosaurs. So even books that were written 5 or 10 years ago are now pretty much out of date in terms of what people know and what dinosaurs there actually were. And there are new ones all the time. So I did try to pick some more recent ones. There are some old classics that everyone knows and loves. But stuff is changing really quickly. So my first pick is Last Day of the Dinosaurs by Riley Black. Riley Black is a paleontologist. No surprise, a lot of the authors are for these. And this name of this book is a little bit misleading. The whole book is not about the last day of the dinosaurs. It actually starts before the last day, goes through the history of the dinosaurs, and then goes beyond it and what happened after the last day. But it has a really cool format where it starts like a million years before the last day of the dinosaurs. And then it moves progressively towards that last day. And then it's like day after? What happened the month after? What happened the year after? What did the world look like? So it was really fascinating. A lot of great dinosaur discoveries and newer finds in paleontology.
Yeah, it's important to stay up to that because it does change. When I was researching some of these books, one of the authors was in an interview and was saying that like every week a new dinosaur is discovered. So if you think about it, that's like 50 new species a year. Like that's crazy to think about. But I mean, the time scale that some of these dinosaurs lived on is really hard to kind of comprehend. I know like there's a fact like the T-Rex is actually closer in time to us than like another dinosaur like the Stegosaurus. Like that is wild because it's 66 million years.
Yep, 66 million years. And dinosaurs were alive for millions of years before then.
Wow. There is a lot still to discover. And that's why I like my next selection. This one was a adult nonfiction. It was available on Hoopla. So if you are an ebook reader, it is available. And it's a quick read. Not as technical as some of the other ones, but this was Locked in Time by Dean Lomax. And what I thought about it was that these were just kind of short stories, more about the behaviors of dinosaurs that we're able to determine from the fossil record. Because we kind of know, we can get an idea what they looked like based on their bones, but we really don't know how they lived their lives. And so it was really cool to see that, the fossil record does go through and show you, we found nest sites. So we know that they took care of their young. We found animals, because it doesn't just cover dinosaurs either. It also includes other prehistoric life. But we saw, signs and evidence of who ate who or who was able to live peacefully together. Some dinosaurs were trapped in a cave together. So we knew that what kind of like their social structure was like. So for casual fans or those who just kind of want to hear some cool, interesting facts about different species, I definitely recommend Lomax's Locked in Time. Said it was not super technical. So if you're not familiar with the text, it's more kind of new level entry. We'll say there was an entire chapter devoted to reproduction. So maybe not quite the book for younger readers. And I do think some of the humor and the jokes were kind of aimed more for an older audience. But overall, it was actually a really enjoyable read. One of my, up there is my favorites.
I haven't read that one. So I'm excited to always find books that I haven't read. Because I do find that there are fewer, outside of academic circles, there are fewer books for adults. A lot of them are aimed towards children, which is great. As we will show you, there's plenty of crossover. But it is always fun when you find one for adults. The next one that I have is actually the sequel to Rise and Fall of the Dinosaurs by Stephen Brusatti. And I have recommended Rise and Fall of the Dinosaurs to just about everyone. That was a 2018 release. And then last year, he came out with his sequel, which is The Rise and Reign of Mammals. So this has less to do with the dinosaurs. They're pretty much in the middle there because it starts with the very earliest mammals and goes through till current times. But a lot of people don't realize that mammals have been around that long and that mammals coexisted with dinosaurs. A lot of them were very small. And if the asteroid hadn't hit the planet and wiped out the dinosaurs, things would look very different. The mammals might not have risen to the top, and there might not have been the Age of Mammals. So it's not a short read. I will warn you right away. It's almost 500 pages, but I did really enjoy it because I guess I hadn't thought about people digging up dinosaur bones and finding mammal bones alongside them. And then it got me thinking, like, how do you know which one is a mammal and which one is a dinosaur when you only have a tooth or something? So it is, goes really in depth on all of that. So if you like those kind of deep looks behind the scenes at like a long period of history, this is the book for you. Plus, he's a great writer. Great writer.
Yes. And for those that are a little intimidated by the larger adult novels, he does have a juvenile version of The Rise and the Fall of the Dinosaurs. And that one's also available in print, ebook, and e-audio. So it's very accessible if you are somebody who is always on the go and is like, I want to read and want to listen to it. You have a couple different options there. I liked the way he wrote out the the juvenile version, because he, knowing that his readers might not be as familiar with it, it's not quite as tech heavy with some of the terminology that's used, but it still is very educational and informative, but it's also kind of told more in a story format. So he kind of talks about different, discoveries. And I really liked how he called attention to a lot of different paleontologists, especially those that don't get a lot of coverage that we might not have known about. So it is kind of cool for, again, people who maybe don't know a ton about dinosaurs, or even for the fan, there's definitely a lot of information in there that meets to all those different needs. So
Absolutely. Yeah, I do want to revisit Rise and Fall. And so then I was like, well, maybe I'll read the young readers version. So it's a little bit different. And I'm also not committing to a few months of reading.
Right. It is kind of funny because he was one of the authors that I was looking up, and I found an interview where they're asking him, all the standard questions. And they're like, so have you always loved dinosaurs? And he was like, actually, no, my brother was the one that had everything Jurassic Park and dinosaurs and knew all the names. He kind of was like, associate that with his brother. Well, until he got into his teens that he was like, well, this is actually pretty neat. And then it took off onto, a career. And he seems like a really interesting guy. Like, I found a YouTube video where he was asked to identify dinosaurs in the dark, and they blindfolded him and gave him like figurines of all these different dinosaurs, and he had to try to guess what they were, blindfolded using clues. And it was a good job. he's very knowledgeable on dinosaurs.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. I'm going to take a little bit of a left turn from the nonfiction books and actually recommend a romance novel called Digging Up Love by Chandra Bloomberg. This book was written for budding paleontologists and or dinosaur enthusiasts who also like to read something light and fluffy. The main character is a chef, and the love interest is a paleontologist. And her grandparents are putting in a swimming pool, and they uncover bones. So the local university sends some people over to check it out, one of whom is the very hot paleontologist who's coming over. He discovers they are dinosaur bones. Things happen. It's amazing. There's some funny side characters. There's a lot of quips. So if you like dinosaurs, but you also are just looking for something light and fluffy, I recommend Digging Up Love by Chandra Bloomberg.
I think that's on my to-read list, so I will have to check that out.
Because you saw paleontologist on there. You're
came up in a keyword search. I was like, read that. Add that to the to-be-read.
Yep.
So I have to say, when I was a child, I know I love dinosaurs. It was something that I don't know what was that first official moment where I fell in love. My earliest memory, though, was this book called Little Archaeopteryx. And I was like 3 or 4 and could say this and ask for this book to the point where I had to go on vacation because I had read it so many times. My parents were probably sick of it. So the next books I chose kind of reminded me of these books because they were a fictionalized account of this little Archaeopteryx who was going out day by day, just, like a little documentary. And so we have some for our little readers, similar titles that I'm like, oh, that reminds me of when I was a child. One is called Deinonychus Goes Hunting, and it's all about this little Deinonychus, which is a theropod dinosaur meat eating. Not scary, though. Not as, there's no super scary scenes of violence or anything like that, but just this little Deinonychus going out hunting, looking for adventure, and you see him climbing and jumping. The graphics are cute while being still scientifically accurate. It does have feathers, which is something that is nice to see in kids' books, because I feel like a lot of times those get overlooked, because that's what we thought for years, was that dinosaurs were super scaly. And we learned that some of them actually did have feathers. So that's a cute, quick, easy read along. I said it reminds me of my childhood of reading all about little Archaeopteryx. So I hope all the children out there who learn how to say some of these tongue-twisting words, here's another book they can add to their collection.
Yeah, I did read that one. It is very cute. And at the end, they tell you what all the words mean that they brought up throughout it. So I appreciate a good glossary at the end. for the parents who don't know what all those mean. That's entirely who it's for, is the parents. I have a movie on my list. We own this one on DVD and on Hoopla, and it is Alaskan Dinosaurs. We actually have a surprising number of Nova TV documentaries and some other ones in the nonfiction DVD section, and then also Hoopla has quite a few of them as well to stream. But Alaskan Dinosaurs caught my attention because you don't think about dinosaurs being in Alaska, first of all. And then also the big question, which they introduce right at the beginning of the film, is how did they survive the winters and how did they eat? What did they eat? So I'm not going to give anything away. It's a shorter documentary. I think it was like a little over an hour, and it will answer all of your questions and get you thinking about some dinosaurs that you haven't heard about before, and also think about migration patterns of dinosaurs, which is again something that you don't really think about. Like I think about some plant eaters probably that migrate with the plants, and then the carnivores follow them. But all the way up to Alaska and back, I don't know. It taught me some new things, and I always love that.
Kind of reminds me of the Apple TV Prehistoric Planet. They had
Yes.
an episode. It was all in the I don't know if it was the Antarctic. I think it was both. I think they had Arctic and Antarctic dinosaur
Nice.
in prehistoric life, and it was really neat because yeah, it's one of those you always think of like lush tropical rainforest or even like the tall grass. Like I always think of Jurassic Park. Every time I see a tall field of grass, I think, oh no, they're in the grass. I'm going there.
Velociraptors are coming to get them.
Yes. So when you think of dinosaurs in the snow and the cold and the ice, it's one of those. Yeah, it's like, wait, no, that doesn't track. That doesn't make
Yeah.
sense.
Well, and
But that is cool. Yeah.
for a long time, people thought they were cold-blooded like reptiles, and so then it wouldn't make any sense. But dinosaurs were warm-blooded, wild.
Yes, they're and they're still here. And birds.
Yep.
That family tree branches off. And I will have to share a quick story. I went kayaking once, like around this time of year, when all the birds are nesting. So there was geese on the nest, and I got a little too close to these sandhill cranes, and I'm like, "Oh, this is my Jurassic Park moment. I don't like this." I don't think anything bad would have happened, but you forget how big they are, and like they do look very dinosaur-like up close. When it kind of stuck its
Absolutely.
head out of these tall reeds and went, and I was like, okay, too close, backing up, pedal away.
Great.
Very cool, but yeah, I can definitely, I was envisioning the scenes from Jurassic Park going.
Yep. It's as close as I'll get, and that's okay. Yeah. Well, do
So,
you have another one for us?
oh, I do.
Okay.
Actually, it's one that I have not seen. I was going to see it in theaters, but I really want to, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Was the 65 with Adam Driver? I know it's a
Not seen.
title we're going to be ordering, but still, I think it's still in theater. It just recently left, where they crash land on a prehistoric Earth, and they have to survive with some of these dinosaurs that they don't
Fascinating.
realize are there, but they quickly make their presence known. And so it's, a good, it kind of reminded me of Jurassic Park. There were definitely some scenes that I think paralleled. And it's always fun to see how different studios handle dinosaurs. Because did you they go that the you definitely tell if they're inspired by Jurassic Park, because it seems like any dinosaur that has a movie franchise game series that has a dinosaur in it will have a spitter or a Dilophosaur, and it always spits venom and has a frill, which definitely came from Jurassic Park, and that's not in the fossil record. So it's kind of neat to see how the real life is inspired by the movies and back and forth. The movies inspire, go on to see like. I always thought it was kind of neat that paleontologists were invited to consult on Jurassic Park, and they were like, hey, we can use 3D modeling and the CGI image, and it actually teaches the paleontologist how these animals move. So it's cool to see like dinosaurs are, entertaining, but also educational.
That brings me, that is such a good segue into my final pick, which is The Science of Jurassic World. There is a whole series of The Science of Star Trek, The Science of blah blah blah. But Science of Jurassic World is actually a more recent release. It just came out in 2021 by Mark Brake. And he goes through and talks about what in Jurassic Park, the paleontologists consulting on them, and then what was actually scientific and in the record, and what they took some creative license with, for example, the lack of feathers. And originally in Jurassic Park, that wasn't, the feathers weren't really well known that all dinosaurs had feathers. So that was more of a, didn't have the knowledge, but in Jurassic World, they absolutely made the decision to not give the dinosaurs feathers. And so they talk about like why they did that. And it was, they're genetically engineered dinosaurs. So there is some creative license they can have with them. They're supposed to be, because they spliced in all these other animals, and that's why you have the issue, among other things. So they, what was like not known when Jurassic Park was made versus what was known when Jurassic World was made, but then they kept the continuity between the two trilogies rather than going with the new information out of paleontology. So it's surprisingly not a super long read. So it is very engaging, especially if you are a movie fan. And that is my other question, is which of the Jurassic Park or Jurassic World movies is your favorite? And why is it the first one?
Yes, I love the first book and movie. That's up there as the few titles that I would say that I actually cannot say if I like the book or the movie better. Mm-hmm. Because to me, they were so well done. I think the movie captured, I mean, obviously there's some big changes. I don't want any spoilers. Characters that were in the movie kind of got, or in the book kind of got combined together. Some people lived that didn't. I have some of my favorite characters didn't make it into the movie. So little criticisms there. But I mean, I really honestly do love the first one. There is something about watching that movie. I can watch the movie, read the book, listen to the audiobook. I play all the Jurassic Park video games, listen to the soundtrack, and then start to over and watch that first movie again, because it's one of those. TV, we're watching it. Yeah. Even though I could probably go through and narrate the whole thing myself, reenact all those scenes. I have not yet managed to get my family on board with our group costume contest, but one day it will happen. It will. I will one have day. A Jurassic Park cast Halloween contest, and we're going to win, because it's who can beat that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I will say, in the most recent Jurassic World Dominion, that was made for the fans. So there are cameos left, right, all over the place. So if you are a original trilogy person and you love that first movie, like we both do, the latest movie has a lot of those fun moments in there. My favorite is that Sam Neill just cannot comprehend how Chris Pratt works with the Velociraptors. He's like, but they are dinosaurs. But they're dinosaurs. So
the dinosaur, that's what you're going back for
that definitely made watching that very long movie worth it, just to see those kind of two complete different camps of characters come together. Obviously it's the first one, hands down my favorite. I would watch that again and again. I surprisingly didn't see it until high school, because it kind of freaked me out a little bit, and I also thought it was scarier than it actually was. Plus, one of my friends gave away the scariest scene right before it happened, and I'm like, no, that doesn't happen, no, that can't possibly happen, and then it did. So what are you gonna do? Well, any final thoughts?
I am very excited by the number of dinosaur materials that we have. And as like we discussed earlier, that more is going to be coming, whether it's going to be in these exciting new documentaries using the high-tech research that we have, incorporating feathers. So like I'm really excited that we have, you know, the opportunity to discuss dinosaurs. Because as a lifelong dinosaur fan, this has been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And don't forget to check out a lot of these documentaries on Hoopla, as well as in our catalog. We also have the ebooks and audiobook versions of a lot of these. I did read Rise and Fall of the Dinosaurs as a, I think I listened to it on the physical audio CDs, because I still had a CD player in my car. So some of them, the audiobooks are excellent. And it helps because the narrators will get those pronunciations for you. So if you aren't somebody who where the dinosaur names, the Latin names just like roll off the tongue, then that is a really helpful way to learn and remember them. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed and maybe picked up a few book recommendations or other materials. And we will see you next time at the CMPL podcast.